Welcome to In Your Company, the fortnightly business show on Cambridge 105, presented by me, Sam Davis. Today, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by my very special guests, Jamie Adamson and Ryan Barakoff. Jamie and Ryan are business partners who've recently established their own hairdressing business on King Street. And for the past year, I've been following their highs and lows as they've worked to get their company off the ground. So the plan for this show is to discuss their progress to date and what they've learned along the way that might be relevant to other fledgling entrepreneurs. So, Jamie, Ryan, thank you very much for coming in today. I know from talking to you over the last year that you have a very strong brand identity you're aiming for, and I think that it's been incredibly influential in everything you've been trying to achieve. So before we listen to the first clip, maybe you could fill us in a little bit about how you perceive that brand and what you're trying to do with it. Don't know who'd like to respond to that one.
I'll go.
Jamie, this is.
Well, sort of from working in some of the sort of big corporate salons we worked in before, we sort of felt there was a real sort of lack of customer service. You were having to do your appointments very quickly, and as hairdressers we weren't really enjoying that or getting much sort of fulfillment out of that really, and we was having to kind of rush through our work, and you know, we didn't get enough time with our clients to chat and to build a real rapport. So going into our own business, we wanted to make sure that we had more time, and that the attention to detail for every service wasn't missed.
Okay, Ryan, anything you'd like to add?
Just important with the branding issue as well was finding the right logo that worked for us, and we've had amazing amount of compliments on it. It feels very welcoming. It's quite contemporary.
Okay, well, there will be photos both of the salon and of their branding up on the In Your Company Twitter feed, so you can see what they've been achieving there. But let's start then by winding the clock back to our first meeting, which was in June 2013, and let's hear your perspective on the project at the time.
Jamie, Ryan, yes. You are on the verge of initiating a really exciting project which In Your Company is going to follow through the next few months. Mm-hmm. Can you start by introducing yourselves and telling me a little bit about how you've reached this point in your careers? And we'll start with Jamie.
I've been working as a hairdresser for 20 years, managing a couple of very busy city centre salons. And as we're working with any sort of big company, underpaid, underappreciated, overworked, and just felt that I had the skills to go and do this for myself. So went self-employed a couple of years ago with the idea of setting up my own salon eventually.
Ryan.
I originally trained in Canada about 10 years ago, and then I came over to the UK about 9 years ago. So I've done most of my training here in London with big companies. And I've always had a lot of ambition and drive to sort of want to own my own business and salon as well. Jamie and I have worked together for 6 years now, and we've always worked really well beside each other, and I think it's always been in the back of our minds to progress together in the future and build a business together, and we both have strong skills when we put them together that we just think we can make a successful business.
Me and Ryan both have a skill that we can teach, and the ambition to move forward and to run a very busy, very successful hair salon in Cambridge.
Which you already have experience of.
Me and Ryan have both managed, you know, a very big corporate salon before, and took it from strength to strength. And I suppose that's one of the most important factors of what's given us the confidence to go on and set up our own business and feel confident that we can make a great success of it.
So you left the big corporate salon, what, 2 years ago now, more
yeah,
or less?
Yeah, just over 2 years ago, yeah.
And then went through this period of, as you say, being self-employed, renting a chair, I think it's called,
that's
in hairdressing.
Right, that's right, yeah.
And was that when you really started to put together your plans for the next stage?
Kind of. I mean, sort of going self-employed was, it was just going to work out financially much better for us to go self-employed, which would then put us in a much stronger position financially to set up our own business. And that, you know, worked out really well. We've both got a very loyal clientele who have followed us from salon to salon, and that is the core of our business as it stands. So without that loyalty, we wouldn't be in this position that we are. So, you know, we feel very grateful to our clients for following us from place to place and effectively helping us to have this opportunity to set up our own business.
Ryan, as you and Jamie have plotted your way through the last couple of years to start building your business empire. What kind of obstacles have you run up against? Because I understand that this has not been an easy process. I know there have been issues around premises and all sorts of things. Can you tell us a little bit about how you found it as a fledgling small business owner?
You have the stress in the beginning a little bit, going from being employed and having the security of working under a corporate umbrella to being your own boss and not knowing who's going to follow you, and you know, so that was a bit of a worry.
Because hairdressing is quite a protected business, isn't it? I know you have kind of non-compete clauses in contracts and things.
That's right, But fortunately, our clients aren't under such contracts, so they make the decision ultimately. And you know, many of my clients have been coming to me for 15 years, and I think that they felt very strongly that they wanted to follow me, and the same with Ryan's clients.
I think once we both knew that we could make it renting a chair, that was always probably in the back of my mind, just a stepping stone to owning a salon. If you can make it renting a chair and keep yourself busy all the time, then chances are those people that come to you to get their hair done are also going to be excited about your next step in the journey of sort of owning your own business. And the clients get really excited about it as well.
Because it's very much a relationship business.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You started looking for premises to set up on your own.
Yeah.
Not long after you went self-employed.
It was almost immediately.
So that suggests there's been quite a long period of trying to identify the right place.
Yes, that's right. It's been quite a learning curve for us. I think it's a two-sided coin. You know, we were looking for a premises in Cambridge, which we thought, you know, during a recession, we'll have loads of premises to choose from, and, you know, we'll just effectively go in one place, like it and take it. But we found out it doesn't really work like that, and there aren't many suitable premises available in the city, because it's an area of affluence, and businesses are still doing very well in this city as opposed to a lot of other places in the country. So yeah, it's made it hard for us to find an ideal property, and it's taken a long time, but it's because we are opening a business in a very busy, affluent place.
And you are, would I be right in describing you as quite fussy customers when it comes to your vision for
Definitely,
how you want the business to be?
That's really fair to say, yeah.
You have to be. I think location is very, very important when you're looking to open a new business and start a new business. We did look at a couple of places a little bit, you know, a mile or two out of the city centre, and we both looked at each other and said, I just don't think we'd be as proud to have one here. Mm. We wanted to hold off until we got the location right and the size of the shop right. And then we just have to see the potential of what we can do with the actual internal part of the space.
And I think that was, you know, that's a really important point to make, is that I was very quick to convince myself that these places might be all right, and that, you know, this could work and we could make it work, and it's maybe not ideal, but we could make it work in this area. And my advice to anyone doing the same would be to actually really consider every aspect of the property in the area that you're going to be opening in. Because I think Ryan kind of pulled the reins back on me a little bit, and I think that was really important, because effectively through frustration we could have ended up in a premises that wasn't as good as the one we've ended up in.
And we may have been successful in that premises as well, but just maybe not as proud to be, you know, a little bit further out of the centre. It was worth the wait, definitely.
Mm. Great. Well, let's talk about where you are now then, and how the kind of progression is structured.
We've just basically bought business off a couple of girls in the city who've been running their hair salon for 8 years, but they're both at the stage in their personal life where they haven't got a lot of time to run the salon, and as a result the salon itself has been neglected slightly, and the decor is very dated, and you know, they haven't had the resources to push
invest.
It forward. Whereas me and Ryan are at a stage where we have and we want to, you know, to build our own business, and it was kind of like them taking a step back, us taking a step up. So we're at the stage at the moment of getting the assignment of the lease, which at the moment is only a year and a half long, which sort of ties our hands behind our back in terms of refurbishment. So me, Ryan and our solicitor are sort of pushing it forward to try and get a 10-year lease as quickly as possible. Once we obtain the 10-year lease, it then makes it safer for us to invest the money into it and know we'll get a return on our investment.
That's a very interesting point to be at. You've kind of got all your eggs in this basket, and now you're hanging on waiting on the third party, the landlord,
to agree a new deal. Every day we say to each other, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a really sort of slick package of documents to send off to the landlord to show them that we are attractive tenants to have and that we are in this for the longevity, and you know, we've got the potential here to run a very busy, successful salon, and through getting a license of alterations, we will be improving their property as well. So we don't really feel that we feel very confident that we're going to get this 10-year lease. So it's just a matter of when, and like, you know, probably lots of people know, you are at the mercy of these landlords in terms of time. So we can't start to plan our refurbishment yet, for, you know, which is to our frustration, until we have this 10-year lease put in place.
This is In Your Company on Cambridge 105 with me, Sam Davis, and today's special guests, Jamie and Ryan, founding partners of Adamson Barakoff Hairdressers on King Street. So you two, any surprises in listening back to your perception of the situation last June?
I think we sound quite positive. I think there were sort of ups and downs around that time. Obviously, we were playing a bit of a waiting game for the lease, as we were talking about on the recording. It's funny how long ago that feels, you know, since that talk. It was, you know, it's less than a year, but it feels like a lifetime ago since we were at that stage, compared to the stage that we're at now.
Okay. Well, the first thing that strikes me hearing it back is how committed you are to that entrepreneurial ambition. And I'm intrigued to know where that comes from. Is that common in the hairdressing sector? Or is that something that comes very much from the two of you?
I wouldn't say it's very common for many hairdressers to want to open their own salon. A lot of people do it because it's a good industry to get in if you're planning a family. It's quite an easy career to do mobile, so there's, you know, no big commitments with having premises and stuff. But I think there's a few of us out there that really, you know, sort of have that ambition, have that drive. And it's just nice that, you know, we've actually followed it through, and sort of 20 years on since I started hairdressing, I've finally sort of done what I said I was going to do when I was 14 years old. So, yeah, it's a nice feeling.
And you, Ryan?
I think there is probably a lot of people out there that say, a lot of hairdressers or entrepreneurs that say they do want their own business, but I think it's actually a very small percentage of people that actually go forward with it. Yeah. It did take some guts and a lot of waiting time and patience, but we never second-guessed ourselves and just stayed true to our game, really.
Yeah, I must say, you do sound extraordinarily confident in that clip. Wasn't the prospect of taking on a 10-year lease quite scary for a new business and effectively new partners? I mean, I know you'd worked together before, but this was a different kind of relationship you were forging.
We didn't really think of taking anything less than 10 years. It was, you know, we were investing a lot of money into the actual premises of doing it up. We had a complete shop fit in January, which was pricey. And in order for us to invest into the actual premises, we really needed that 10-year commitment from the landlords to make some money and profit back on the business.
We were scared of not getting the 10-year lease.
Yeah.
That's what we're scared of, not getting it.
And back last June, what were you honestly thinking the time frame for moving this project forward was going to be?
I think around that time we were thinking it'd be nice if we could refurb in September. So that it was all ready for Christmas and
okay,
busy period.
Well, maybe this is a good time then to move on to our second pre-recorded interview, which we recorded in August. And let's see what had happened at that point.
Okay.
Nice to see you both again. Could you start, Jamie, by filling me in on what's happened in the last couple of months since we spoke?
Not as much as what we'd have hoped. I mean, we're still waiting to get leases signed. You know, we are very much playing a waiting game at the minute. We're waiting for the solicitors to send us through the information for us to sign, to get everything clear on the surrender and the new lease. So that's taking quite a bit of time. So we've kind of just been making the most of the time by speaking to our clients and doing a bit of like general market research, which is a really sort of good part of what we do. We see clients all day long, so we can get their opinion and ask some questions and see what they feel about different ideas with the shop fair that we're going to be doing in January. And just really just trying to be as patient as we can, really.
And Ryan, how good is Jamie at being patient?
He's very good.
I should point out there's a very nervous look just passed across Ryan's face.
I think patience isn't really in either of our nature, really, which is surprising as hairdressers, but we kind of, with business as well, we kind of want everything yesterday, but we don't have much of a choice. Our hands are tied, and we have to just wait and see what will happen.
Because you're now thoroughly invested in this project in terms of your emotional commitment to it, and it is just a question of waiting for the wheels to turn, and that is beyond your control at the moment.
Unfortunately, yeah, we are at the mercy of lots of different people.
But saying that, it's all going well.
Yeah, it's all going in the right direction, if slowly. But it's just the way things happen. So we're told, you know, we sort of, I think this, a property of this size isn't the sort of main priority of the landlords. It's quite a small property in comparison to the other properties they own. So it's not like, it's not their priority, if you like, to sort of properties like this out. They've got much bigger properties with much bigger profit for them and stuff. So it's kind of, you know, you kind of have to sort of like be put at the bottom of the pile quite a lot, which is a shame, because for us it's a really big deal, but for them it isn't.
Okay, and in terms of the day-to-day running of the salon at the moment, it's still managed by the current owners.
Yeah.
And you two are still leasing chairs, renting chairs
That's
from
right.
them.
Yeah.
But is there any kind of movement in terms of the internal dynamics of the place? Are you starting to exercise more influence?
If anything, I think it's gotten better, probably definitely, since we talked to you last time, because as a team, at the beginning it felt very much us and them, and now, you know, 8 weeks on since we talked to you, everyone knows how each other works and we all get on quite well together.
So one of the things you mentioned in that clip was the difficulty of being a relatively small fish in the eyes of the landlord. And your landlord is one of the Cambridge colleges, isn't it? Now, they have a reputation for being really quite slow and sometimes difficult to work with. Is that how you found them?
I wouldn't say difficult to work with. We found them sort of quite fair, and the people that represent them that we've had a lot of contact with have been really friendly and really nice. And you know, if anything goes wrong in the property, they're there very quickly. But I just think it's the nature of it. These things take a long time, and you know, the people who are dealing with these things have lots of other things to deal with as well. So, you know, I think it could have gone a lot smoother and a lot quicker, but that's just the name of the game, I think.
And during that waiting period, what kinds of professional services were you using to support your application? I mean, how much of this project have you done yourselves, and how much have you been buying in expertise to support you through it?
We did want to do it all properly, so we had business lawyers and people to read the small print of all these forms that was sort of gobbledygook to us in a way.
We had architects as well.
We had architects, and it was a lot of things that we couldn't do ourselves that it was worth paying someone else to do for us in order to get it all right the first time.
And have you had specific business mentors or business advisors to help you build the business, or have you done that side of it kind
other.
Of from your own instincts?
Yeah, each other. And I think there's lots of people I think that we could probably mention in that respect. You know, we're always asking people advice. We've got, you know, such an abundance of really successful business people as customers that come into the salon to see us. So we're constantly asking people for advice, and our solicitor who looked after us during the process of obtaining the lease was really good. He was a really good guy, and he really looked after us, and I think that he was a massive help and a massive calming factor to us as well, because he's been through it many, many times. So, you know.
back to that calm and patience that was required to underpin the whole thing.
That's right, my forte.
Forgive the cynical laughter. So there was a long period when nothing happened, because I spoke to you, as we've just heard, at the end of August, and then didn't come and see you again until December. I'm just about to play the December clip, and Jamie, I started by asking you if you're optimism from earlier in the year had been borne out by reality.
Not really. I think towards the end it felt like it maybe did a little bit, but we've been waiting to get the lease on the property for quite a long time. I think we moved in here in May, and it took to the 1st of November for us to become the proud owners of the, well, the proud tenants, I should say, of this property on King Street. But we're very pleased with the result that we've got with the lease, and you know, all of the sort of terms were very much sort of what we wanted originally, and it took time.
So why did it take time? Where would you say the process got bogged down?
Lots of areas, really. I think sort of partly, you know, it takes time for the solicitors to write up the all of the information and all of the sort of the new lease and to decide on the terms. It just takes, I mean, sometimes you can be waiting 3 or 4 weeks for a letter to come through that you've been waiting for. And so I think if it was just up to us, it could have happened very quickly, but there's lots of other parties involved, lots of other factors that we didn't really sort of foresee happening. I think we were slightly naive and thinking it would be very quick. And I suppose, you know, any advice I'd give to anyone looking for property in Cambridge is take your time. There are properties out there, but I think if you wanted a really good property in a decent area in the city, it will take time, and you know, sort of working with the colleges as well can take a little bit of time as well. And so I'm mumbling here, aren't I?
And as well, because we were signing a 10-year lease as well, we wanted to make sure that it was absolutely what we wanted. And one lease did come through which didn't have things that we agreed to on it, so we had to go back to the solicitors and back to the letting agents and go through it all again, and they said it was their fault on their account and they had to rewrite it all for us. So it was, that took a month, you know.
Yeah,
little things like that. But it was more important to us in the end to sign something for the next 10 years that we had agreed to and that we were happy with.
We're now mid-December. How has your thinking evolved since then?
Well, sort of the shop fit, you know, the refurbishment that we're doing in January has obviously been our main priority. And being able to obtain the lease by the 1st of November, although it took a long time, was, you know, it was good in the end because it gave us enough time to order the materials, the furniture, and everything we need to order for the shop fit. If it would have gone on a lot longer, then the shop refurbishment ultimately would have been put back further as well. And January is a very quiet time for hairdressing, so it's an ideal time for us to refit the place. And you know, as it stands, it's very dated looking. I mean, we've sort of cleaned it up and tried to make it as good as we can for now. But in January we're going to be shutting down for almost three weeks to do the big refurbishment, and that's been, you know, what we've made, apart from obviously seeing our clients, looking after our clients, that's our main priority.
That's taken up all the rest of our time when we've not been doing hair.
A 3 week shutdown is quite a sizeable chunk out of your revenue earning at a point when you'd think you really wanted to be cracking on with earning money. So how have you reached a balance about the ambition and scale of the refit versus your need to keep earning revenue and getting the business going?
We were granted a 1 month free rent when we took on the lease. So even though that was technically November, Jamie and I said, well, let's kind of think of that as being January when we do have to shut down, because we have been able to come in and start working and making money from the 1st of November. Mm. But actually, we do have to close for that amount of time to do the shop up properly.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of hairdressing and any kind of service industry, is that the first day you're in the shop, you can effectively take money, whereas obviously if you're more into retail, you're spending a lot, you know, before you recoup any of your costs. But with hairdressing, we have, you know, December's a very, very busy time. We can, you know, we've got to work in a lot of hours, and so that's going to help out, obviously, having the very busy month in December and then a very quiet month classically in January means that we could earn slightly more money in December to cover the costing for the January period. When we're having the shop fit, you know, we can effectively, you know, work so hard in December that we can sort of double what we're paying out in our minds for the 2 months.
So your reward for waiting and holding on and sticking out the delays was that you got the premises you wanted and in time to do the refit when you wanted. How did that bit of the plan go? I have to ask the critical questions. Did you stick to the budget and did you stick to the timetable?
I think a simple no is the answer to that question, on both respects. We went over budget, but I think that's just standard for anyone who's setting up a business. We wanted to make it look amazing, and again, it's our first salon. I think we were slightly naive in a few areas. There was a few areas that we budgeted X amount, and then there was a big surprise. Actually, it cost X amount more. So we did go over budget, but I feel for the look of the salon, and certainly from the response we've had from our customers coming in, it was worth the money. I think for what we got, and you know, the builders were fantastic. You know, they made it very very easy on us. It wasn't stressful at all. And we've ended up with a really beautiful salon for, I would say, not a bad figure.
Okay. And in terms of the financials, what sort of payback period are you thinking will be required to cover that investment?
We're hoping 2 to 3 years.
Okay. And that's manageable for you?
Yeah. I mean, sort of we could have stretched it out a lot longer, but we just kind of felt for the next 2 or 3 years, we're prepared to work very, very hard to get in the nice situation of being debt-free, so that we could then not have to do so many hours and concentrate on other areas of the business. At the moment, me and Ryan are just, you know, doing as much as we can and seeing as many clients as we can, just to afford to pay for the things that we've spent the money on. But we've got some great staff members in the shop.
I was going to say, what's the shape of the business now?
Well, we're only sort of, I think this is our 10th week this week.
Yeah.
And we've got some great stylists on board. We've got a girl called Amy who's very well established. She's got quite a loyal clientele already. And then we've got Alex and Cara, two stylists who are fairly... Alex is fairly sort of new back to the city. He lived here before and then sort of moved away, went abroad, and he's come back now and just building his clientele. And then Cara is a young girl. She's come over from America and she's worked in some very high-end salons over there. And they're both doing very, very well. They've had a lot of clients been recommended to them, which has been really nice to see. And it's a good thing for me and Ryan to refer back to.
I was going to say, this is again, sort of specific to the hairdressing sector, in as much as these guys are renting chairs from you or are employed by you?
No, they're self-employed.
Right.
But because of they haven't got a clientele, so the obligation of paying a chair rent was impossible for them.
Right.
And we were so impressed with them as stylists, we want them to come in and they're just doing it on a percentage basis.
Okay. And looking forwards, you've talked about the payback period being, you know, 2 to 3 years. What are your ambitions for the future of the business?
I would like to think that after 2 or 3 years and actually building up a business bank account again, then hopefully if this all goes as well as we hope it will, then we'll think of doing another salon.
So we could be having this conversation again in 3 years' time.
Hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully on our yacht in Cannes at that stage. Yeah.
I look forward to the invitation. That would be fantastic. If you look back over the process as a whole, what lessons do you think you've learned? And I'm going to look at each of you separately because you're different characters and I suspect you've learned different things. Ryan?
I've learned to be more patient than I am, probably. Just that things take time. And like I said in one of our earlier recordings, that I'm the kind of person that does want everything yesterday. And for it to be done properly, it does need to... You've got to play the waiting game.
Okay. And Jamie?
I think probably the biggest thing that I've learned is that we can do this. You know, we've done it and we've got through it now, and now we've opened a business successfully, and you know, we're very in the very early stages, but we've gone through, I would say, the most alien parts of doing it. We've obtained the lease, we've done the refurb. These are all very new things to us, whereas now we just do what we do best and run a hair salon and hopefully it will work out successfully, which I'm sure it will.
And would you encourage other people to take the step of setting up their own business?
Not a hairdresser's on King Street.
No.
Okay, not a hairdresser's on King Street.
But yes, otherwise.
Very quickly, the King Street thing. We did a programme on King Street as a community and an area in November, I think, last year. Do you think it's got its own character and its own
Definitely.
Identity?
Oh, yeah.
And what attracted you to it?
It's a lot of independent local businesses. It seems like a lot of coffee shops, cafes, restaurants, mm-hmm. bars, hairdressers,
barbers.
But we've all the managers or owners, shop owners from that street have got together, and we want to build it up a little bit more if we can, because it is very central.
Mm.
But you got to go to King Street for a reason.
Well, there's plenty of reasons to go there now. Thank you so much. We're almost out of time, but it's been brilliant that you've been able to share the story of the salon with us. Jamie, you want to say something?
Can we just say thank you to our sort of friends, colleagues and family, all the people that have helped us out during the stage and dealt with all of the moods and the strops and all
Can't
of the stresses. And ultimately, thank you to all of our clients for just showing us such a great amount of loyalty and sort of helping us out through the whole stage of opening the business.
Well, it's been
and thank you, Sam, as well, for giving us the opportunity to speak on on the radio.
It's been a pleasure. Next up on Cambridge 105 is The Science Show with Roger Frost and Chris Creese. This has been In Your Company. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.